Corinthians 4, 8 through 9. And it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. No matter what we're going up against, we still come out on the other side because we serve a God who is great and a God who is mighty. Tonight I'm going to be preaching on defying the odds. You may be seated. Defying the odds. You know, we can go through all the terrible things that life has thrown at us. We can go through the list of things that we deal with on a daily basis, the people that we come in contact with that want nothing but negative things to happen in our life. There's so many different people in this world that want to see you fail. You can go back and list all the different names. You can go back and list every single person that wanted you to do nothing but to stumble and fall. But there is nothing that this world can throw against us that can destroy us when we have God on our side. If you have faith in God and you trust in God, anything that you're going through, you will get through. Just because you're going through it doesn't mean that that's the end of the road. Doesn't mean that you're stopped. Doesn't mean you have to quit. You can keep on going just because it's hard. Just because it's hard. As Christians, we have the best form of defense against these type of things, the things that perplex us, the things that would try to put us in despair. We have the best form of defense, and that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having faith that he will keep you in times of trouble. Having faith that no matter what it is that comes against you, he will be there to lift you up. No matter what combats you, no matter what people try to say to you, he will always pull you out on the other side. We serve a God who is not going to let us just stumble and fall. But we can't just be like, hey, God will take care of me. Oh, well, I'll just do whatever. You have to put some effort into it. You have to be able to get up yourself and tell yourself, hey, my God can get me through this, but I'm going to have to take the first step. The amount of times that we come to a church and we sit on the pew and we hope that something happens to make us move. I know we hear that all the time, but it's so true. We get tired, we go through the motions. We get tired of stuff that's going on in our personal life, and we come here and we bring it with us, and we sit with it on the pew, and we lay there, and we just wait for God to move us. You're never going to get anywhere if you don't go anywhere. You're never going to get past what you're dealing with if you don't start trying to get past it. You know what they say? The first thing about dealing with a problem is admitting you have a problem. And I have a problem with Chipotle. And I admitted it the last time I preached. But I had it today too. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm dealing with it on a daily basis. It's genetic. Amen. Once a week at least. We have all been through those times in life where it feels as if everything is hitting us all at once. We've all been through them. Some people would see the things that you're going through and say, I don't know how that person's still going. There's a lot of stuff that you're carrying. There's a lot of stuff that you're dealing with that people would be like, I don't know how you're doing it. But what they don't know is you have the ultimate key of getting you through problems. And that's God. It's simple. It's so simple. But the thing is that you have all these things that you're dealing with, that other people are dealing with, and it's making them stumble and fall, and they're not getting back up. That's because they're not trusting in the God that you serve. You are walking every single day in the light when you trust in God, and you trust in him, and you have faith that he will pull you out. We serve a God who can pull you out of the hard times. We have to be able to keep fighting. You can't just throw in the towel. You can't just give up. You can't just stop. You have to keep pushing. The only way you win a race or the only way you finish a race is if you keep walking or you keep running. It's the only way that you'll ever get to the end. You don't finish the race by stopping halfway just because you're tired. You quit the race or you finish the race. You've got to keep moving. You've got to keep going. Probably my favorite story in all of the Bible, and this has been my favorite character for years and years, but it has to be the story of Joseph. I love the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. Joseph was the son of Jacob, or Israel, whichever one you want to go by. He, the 12th of 13 boys in the family, was the 12th of 13 boys in the family. That's all you really have to say. If anybody has ever had an older brother, and I'm sorry, but you probably have been picked on a lot. It's my job to make sure Anna stays in her place. It's true. Well, I kind of just, you know, volunteered for that job. But it is what it is. So he had 11 older brothers and one younger brother. He was the middle child. He was something you usually wouldn't view him as somebody who would be the favorite. You usually wouldn't view him as somebody who was probably given the most attention, because he was one of the younger ones, one of the youngest ones, and practically a middle child. So he certainly couldn't be considered first in line for his father's inheritance. He couldn't be first in line for anything. He was 12th in line. He was not going to be the favorite. But he was indeed the firstborn of Rachel. And if you know the background, you know that Jacob saw this girl and was like, man, she is a 15 out of 10. And he was like, I would work 7 years for her. And so he did. But Laban tricked him at the end of the 7 years. I don't know how you trick somebody into marrying somebody else, but he did it. And he married his sister Leah. Leah, either way. But he tricked her into marrying Leah. And Leah, probably, it was probably a huge shock to him. And he was like, I can't believe this happened to me. But you know what? I really, really love Rachel. So he worked another 7 years, worked a total of 14 years for this girl. This girl better have been smoking. She better have been good looking, because 14 years is a long time. I'll hear about that one later. always something. But what's significant about this is that most of the brothers that came before him were from Leah. They were all from Leah, from the woman he did not plan on marrying. That was an accident. That was trickery. All of these brothers before him. But Joseph was the firstborn of the woman he loved more than anyone else. That is why Joseph was his favorite. That is why Joseph was given all of these things. That's why he was given probably the first option when it came to anything, because that was his favorite person. And the whole world was Rachel, gave birth to Joseph. Leah had given him most of the children, but Rachel gave birth to Joseph. So Joseph was his favorite. Jacob treated Joseph much differently than he did the other sons. And this was obvious to everyone in the family and probably everyone around for miles. Jacob loved him so much that he gave Joseph this super nice Brooks Brothers jacket that was super colorful. It was this Gucci jacket, and it was super nice. It was the best brand, best quality. It was the best looking thing in the world. So you know it stood out. You know that it stood out. And it was something that the brothers probably saw and were like, hey, why didn't I get the Gucci jacket? Why didn't I get the Brooks Brothers jacket? You know, they were probably confused. They probably didn't understand the whole Leah and Rachel situation. They probably didn't understand why they weren't their father's favorite. And so they hated him for it. They hated Joseph for it. And this was before Joseph started telling his dreams when he probably shouldn't. When you walk into a room of people, you can kind of feel like, hey, these people probably don't really like me very much. You can kind of get a feel for the room. Well, he walked into that room and said, I had a dream that all of you are bowing down to me. Like my jacket? It was not the smartest thing in the world to do. But Joseph, he felt like this was from God. And to him, probably he saw his brothers as people that he could talk to, probably confidants. He probably wanted Reuben to give him some information about what this meant. He saw them as stars bowing down to him. He saw them as bundles of wheat bowing down to him. And he wanted to know why, like what is happening. But his brothers were just like, this idiot, this guy thinks he can come in here and tell us that we're about to bow down to him. Okay. They plotted behind his back and had him sold off to slavery. They plotted behind his back, threw him in a pit. He's pulled out of the pit by all of these Egyptians and taken to Egypt in slavery. They faked his death by covering his jacket, his Brooks brother's jacket, in camel blood or goat blood. I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of the two. It was blood, didn't matter. But the problem is that Joseph should have been fine. These were his brothers. This was his family. But he kept the faith. He kept believing that God would pull him out of this situation. He didn't understand why it was happening. He was probably confused. He was probably lost about why he was so hated. Why he was so hated by his brothers enough to be able to be sold to slavery. I mean, to have these kind of things happen to you, all of a sudden you question everything that has ever happened to you. You question every single meal that you've had with these people. You question every single time that you have had a conversation with them. These guys hated him for it. They hated him because they were envious of what he was given from his father. When someone comes up to you and says, dude, I had the strangest dream last night. I mean, we've all done it. We've all been like, hey, I had the strangest dream last night, but mine are usually about snakes and spiders, not about people bowing down to me. So I usually will just keep that to myself and pray about it later. But Joseph had a call of God on his life from the moment he was born. And then he was given these dreams. He was given these dreams showing him that one day he would be put in a place. It was a promise to Joseph. It was a promise to him that he would be given redemption. He would be given an opportunity of a lifetime to oversee. They would give him an opportunity to be able to take over for his brothers and provide for the family. This was a big deal to him. But being sold into slavery, it seems like all is lost. He gets sold to Potiphar. Potiphar takes him into his house, and Potiphar is he really likes Joseph. Joseph is the A1 employee. He's the best dude in the whole thing. He got employee of the month. Now he's Potiphar's right-hand man. But Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph. He wanted Joseph for terrible means and for terrible things, and he tried to seduce Joseph. But Joseph pulled away. He did not want to be a part, and she ripped a part of his cloak and went to Potiphar and said, Joseph tried to abuse me. Joseph tried to have his way with me, but I didn't let him. But the problem is that Joseph didn't do any of this. Joseph was just being a good employee. He was just doing his thing. He was doing everything that Potiphar wanted him to do. He was trying his best to fulfill what God's promise was for him. But then again, he's brought back down. There's a lot of times in our life, the people that we trust, the people that we are around, they'll turn against us. But the thing is we have to keep trusting in God. Just because times seem difficult, just because things seem impossible, doesn't mean that you have to give up on God. You don't have to give up on God just because it's a little bit cloudy outside. Just because things are a little bit difficult, just because you're going through a storm in life, doesn't mean that you have to give up on God. God will put you through these trials to test your faith. And I believe that he's testing Joseph through all of this. He's testing Joseph to see if he can make it through to the other side. Now, Joseph, after this happened, he was thrown into prison. And prison back then was not like it is now. You don't have a cot. It was probably a cave, a dirty, dark, dusty, wet cave. It's probably disgusting. It probably smelled really bad. There were probably rats. I'm painting a picture for you. There's probably snakes, Mom. I'm sorry. It's disgusting. We all know. But the thing is that Joseph was at his darkest place. He was at his darkest moment. There's a lot of times God will put us in these moments to try to see how we're going to react. In prison with Joseph were these two other prisoners, and they both had dreams, and they were like, Joseph, what does this mean? And at that time, Joseph had worked his way to be like the right-hand man in the jail. Everywhere he went, he was the best that he could be, even if it was in prison. No matter what situation you're going through, if you're down and things are going against you, you still got to try to be the best Christian that you can possibly be. Just because things are difficult doesn't mean you let down standards. Just because things are difficult doesn't mean you stop believing in the holiness. Just because things are difficult doesn't mean that you stop believing in God. Things are going to get difficult. That's life. That's going to happen. But you have to keep on moving. You have to keep on pressing. But these prisoners had a dream, and they wanted to know what it meant. And Joseph said to one of them, he said, that dream means that you will die. You will perish. You will be executed. And the other one, you will be exonerated, and you will be set free. You will be set out of the prison. And this person was a cupbearer for the king. He worked right beside the king, Pharaoh, at all times. But he was put in prison because they believed that he had tried to poison the king. But he didn't. But he was proven innocent after this whole situation with the dreams. And he was set free. But before he left, he said, Joseph, when I get out there, I will tell Pharaoh about you. I will tell them about you, and I will make sure that you get out of here because you don't deserve to be here. Even people that were down there with him, when you're down and you're out and things aren't going your way and you're in darkness and you're around people who are seeking something, they're seeking the will of God, they can tell that you're following after something that matters. This guy could tell. Joseph was a man of honor. He was a man who was dedicated to the will of God, to the word of God. You're going to realize that people around you in those dark times are going to see that. You still are going to be a witness, even though you're in darkness. You're still going to be a light to those that need it. But when he got out of the prison, the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. He forgot about the guy who had told him that he was going to be set free down in prison. He forgot about him, but he was still working with Pharaoh. Pharaoh ends up having this dream, and he was wondering, it's this crazy dream, and he doesn't know how to explain it, and he called all of his wise men, he called all of his sorcerers, he called all the people in Egypt that he thought could tell him what was going on. He called all of these people, and they couldn't tell him. And then the cupbearer remembered, hey, there's somebody who told me my dream, and he's down in prison. Pharaoh, like, you got to check this guy out. He's cool. He's a cool dude. I would add him on Facebook. But Pharaoh brought him out of I almost said Facebook. Hey, that's sometimes a prison. But he brought him out of prison. He brought Joseph out of prison, and Joseph told him, he said, your dream means that Egypt is going to go through 7 years of prosperity and growth in 7 years of famine, and you need to prepare. And Pharaoh was so amazed by this, and he was so in awe because the other people couldn't even tell them, couldn't even begin to be like, hey, this is what this means. But Joseph told him right off the bat, like, hey, this is not good. You're going to have to fix this. And Pharaoh saw that, and all Joseph was doing was being a willing vessel. All Joseph was doing was being like, hey, I'm still like following after God. I don't know what to tell you. I'm still following after him. And Pharaoh saw that and set him as the chief administrator over Egypt. You have to realize that's one of the biggest, like, that was one of the biggest empires of the ancient world. We talk about ancient Egypt and how amazing their technology was and all of the great, like, amazing big things that they did. Joseph was over all of that. He was second only to Pharaoh. He answered to Pharaoh, and that was it. If you follow after God and you trust in God, and you might be going through these problems, just wait. just wait a second, be faithful, keep going, keep holding on, because eventually God is going to set you on a pedestal and he is going to use you for his will and for his glory. Now, Joseph being the chief administrator, being over all of this, going through all of these things, he saved all of the harvests for 7 years and was ready for the famine. All of the area outside of Egypt, all of Egypt was under the famine. They were dealing with not having food. They were dealing with not having anything. And then Joseph is realizing, like, hey, you know, this is affecting a lot of people. Well, his brothers come. And his brothers come up to him in Egypt, not knowing who he was. Not knowing that this is the guy that they sent to slavery. Not knowing that this is the guy that they threw into a pit and sent him off to Egypt, never to be heard of again. They faked his death. His father is sick because of how sad he is, because of how hurt he is by his favorite son disappearing. But they had no clue that this was him. And they come up needing food. But they didn't bring Benjamin, the 13th brother. They didn't bring Benjamin. And so to test them, he said, go back and bring Benjamin and I'll sup with you. I'll have supper with you and we'll eat. And when they all ate, they all came together and ate. He put a goblet inside of Benjamin's sack, inside of his sack of grains and inside of his sack of food, and was trying to test them. And so before they left Egypt, they caught him and they said, hey, you have something of ours. You stole something of ours. And they opened it and there it was. There was the goblet that belonged to the king, that belonged to the chief administrator of Egypt. And they pulled him in and they took Simeon. They took me and put me in prison. But that's actually one of the names of the brothers. I don't know if you knew that. But they put him in prison and they told him to go back. When they came back and asked for forgiveness, Joseph gave them the opportunity to be redeemed. Joseph was at the moment where he realized, hey, this is that promise that God had for me years and years and years ago, whenever I was thrown into a pit, never to be heard of again. God is going to give you a promise. God is going to give you his will. And all you have to do is believe in him and have faith. And there's going to be things that are going to come up. There's going to be things that pull you down. There's going to be things that knock you over, but you got to keep going. You have to keep on pushing. You have to keep defying the odds. Just because it's difficult, just because it's not easy, doesn't mean that you can't keep moving forward. There's so many times that we'll go through these things and it feels like it's all over. It feels like nothing else matters. It feels like we should just stop. But the God that we serve has given us a great opportunity to follow after him and to have faith in him. Through all of the things that Joseph went through, all of the times that it seemed like all was lost, from the moments he was stuck in jail, and it was probably dark, it was probably disgusting, we already talked about that. All of these things that he was at his lowest of the low, he was as dirt, but he kept having faith in the God that he served. He kept having faith in a God that he knew was a redeeming God. Jacob, Israel, probably told Joseph and the boys stories about times where God provided for him when he had nothing. And he remembered these things and said, hey, the God that my father serves, the God that my family serves is a loving God. He is a God that gives redemption. He is a God that gives freedom. And when I'm going through a hard time, he's never going to give you more than you can't carry. He's never going to give you more that you can carry. He's always going to give you just enough so you can make it through to the other side. When all seems lost in your life, when it seems like you keep failing, just keep the faith. just keep defying the odds. When everything else is against you, keep pushing. When everything else is pulling you down, when everything else is when everyone else is telling you that you can't do it, keep going. Joseph's brothers, his family was telling him he couldn't make it by throwing him in a pit and sending him off to slavery. There's going to be times when you feel like people that are your brethren, that are your sisters in the church, are pulling you down. Just have faith. Just have faith. Because they probably, first off, don't mean it. And second, they're your brothers and sisters. You still have to be forgiving. You still have to move on. You still have to trust in God. You still have to be like, hey, I know that this offended me, but I'm going to trust God that you mean well and that I'm going to move on through this. Because you can't do anything with God if you hate your brother. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The golden rule, you gotta love every single person that you are dealing with on a daily basis. As much as they might irritate you, as much as they might frustrate you, you have to keep on loving those around you. When everything is coming against you and it looks like there's no way out, just remember that God is on your side. Philippians 4 and 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I'm about to tell a story that my father has told a ton and my mom has told a ton of people. But when I was younger, I would go around the house and I would color on the walls. And my mom came up to me and said, you can't do that. And my mom should not have taught me scripture because I said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Yeah, and I said, strengtheneth me. Don't worry. I was young. I was like 17 at the time. It was terrible. But this scripture says, I can do all things through Christ. No matter what you're going through, no matter if it seems like it's impossible, I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. He gives me the ability to beat all the odds. When God is on my side, there is nothing that this world can throw against me that I cannot overcome. There is nothing that this world can hand me that I can't handle because the God that I serve is greater than this world. My God can give me something greater than this world can ever offer me. I am given strength through Christ because he's within us. Because he is within us, we can have liberty. We can be given freedom. Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good for them, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What this world means for evil, my God can turn it around in my favor. The promise my God has made me is stronger than the threat of the enemy. The promise that God has given you tonight is so much greater than what this world can try to throw against you. There is nothing that this world can do. No matter the situation, my God is still my peace. He is still my rescue. He is my deliverance. He is my freedom. He is my redemption in times of need. He is my hope. He is my light in the darkness. He is my joy in sorrow. There is no one greater than my God. God has given us a promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. In my time of need, he is there. In my time of trouble, he is my comforter. In my time of pain, he is my peace. God will always see us through to the end. There is nothing that you're going to go through that God won't go through with you. There is nothing that this world is going to throw against you that God's not going to be right beside you the whole time. You just have to have faith. There's this thing that ties you to God more than anything else. It like handcuffs you to God, and it's called faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the Bible says you can move mountains. The God that we serve, even if it's just a little bit, you are tied to him by faith, and you can do anything. There is nothing that can come against you that can bother you. Paul, he was a persecutor of Christians. He was somebody that didn't deserve redemption. He didn't deserve to be given a second chance. He was not somebody that everybody was like wanting to be around. He had been through some stuff. he did some things in his past life. And then when he was saved, he went through a ton. There was a lot of stuff that he went through. It says, 2 Corinthians 11 and 23 says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastenings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. This is the same exact man that wrote Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. What this world means for evil, my God turns around in my favor. Just because I'm going through all of this stuff, just because I'm thrown into prison, just because I'm thrown into situations that seem impossible, doesn't mean that I don't serve a God who can pull me out on the other side. What all of these people saw and tried to make for Joseph's failure and for Joseph to falter, God turned it around and gave him position. He gave him freedom. He gave him a chance to redeem his family. When you have faith in God, you don't just affect your own life. You affect those around you. You affect those that deal with you on a daily basis. There is nothing that you're going through that you can't come out on the other side and affect everybody else. Because Noah had faith in God and built an ark and made it to the other side. He brought his family with him. You're going through a dark time, but if you trust in God, you will take everyone else with you. If the musicians would come. There is nothing that this world can do to any of you, to any of us, as long as we believe in the God that we serve. We sang it earlier. He's marvelous. He's glorious. He's wonderful. He's beautiful. The God that we serve is all of these things and so much more. Why would we ever doubt him? Why would we ever not have faith in him? Why would we ever lose hope in the God that we serve? He died on a cross. God came down from heaven, robed himself in flesh, took on every single sin, took on every single thing that you feel on a daily basis. He knows it, and he felt it, and he died on a cross, giving us the best gift that we can have, and that's a chance at redemption. It might seem like a dark time to you right now, but if you just step out in faith and you just keep moving, when everyone else tells you that you can't make it, when everyone else tells you that it's impossible, the God that we serve is telling you, hey, if you trust in me, I'll set you free. If you trust in me, I'll bring you joy. There's somebody in this place, I don't know who you are, but you're feeling sorrow. You're feeling pain. And it's strong. It feels like you can't even move. It's all you could do to get here tonight. But the God that we serve can take away sorrow and replace it with joy. He can take away your distress and give you peace. Just because it seems like all else is lost, it doesn't mean that our God stops using. It doesn't mean that our God stops moving in your life. It doesn't mean that our God stops looking over you. His hand is still on your life tonight. His hand is still on you. Just because it's dark, just because it seems impossible, it doesn't mean that it's gone. It doesn't mean that the hand of God is not on your life. I don't know why I feel like telling this right now. This is, my notes finished at Joseph, but there was a time in my life where I was so depressed, but I put on a brave face and you couldn't tell. I just made jokes. There was a time when I felt like I couldn't do it anymore. I was at Bible college. I was in a place where I shouldn't feel this way. I was not connected to God the way I should be. I was not following after the word like I should be. But there are people in my life that kept telling me, if you just keep moving, if you just keep going, if you just keep trusting, if you feel like you're lost tonight and you don't know what to do, there is a God that can meet you here at this altar. There is a God that can meet you in your time of need and give you redemption and give you a chance to come back to Him. It's not always easy. But sometimes you gotta defy the odds and keep moving and keep on going and get back up. You can pray wherever you want, but if you want to tonight and you want to be set free from those things that are holding you down, tonight could be your stepping out of prison. Tonight could be the moment that you get out of that rut that you're in, those things that you're dealing with. You get out of the situation that's holding you down. You can do that tonight. So why don't we start to pray? Why don't we start to come if you need to come and you need redemption tonight? If you need somebody to come and pray with you, we can do that for you tonight. We serve a God who died on the cross so that you could be saved. If you need to be saved tonight, you can be saved. If you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you need to be baptized, we can baptize you tonight. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter if it seems impossible. If He can pull Paul out of the ocean, just holding on to driftwood, hoping to make it out, He can save you. If He can pull Joseph out of darkness and out of prison and set him up, He can save you. Just because it seems impossible, we serve a God of impossible. We serve a God who does impossible on the daily.